Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Ross Tucker with his phone calls as well. Drew right now. Hi, Drew.
Hey, good morning, all.
Hey, Drew.
Good morning.
Listen, Nola, I don't want to hear about Nola, okay? I don't want to hear about him. The hitting is obviously the problem with this team. This is Groundhog Day, 3 years in a row in the postseason, okay? And watching the swings that those guys took, all I could think of was a 2008 lineup. Think of those names, Victorino, Rollins, Utley, Howard, Burrell, Worth, Ruiz. To a man, they would all routinely, except for maybe Burrell, who was a dead pull hitter, they all would routinely hit the ball the opposite way. When the opportunity in a big spot came and the ball was pitched that way, they would hit it to the opposite field. This team doesn't even try to do that, with the exception of Bohm. Bohm actually does that.
Yeah.
Turner sometimes. But that's the difference between winning and losing.
Look, they are, like most teams in Major League Baseball right now, they are crafted differently than teams of yesteryear. There's no question. They are put together in a different style, and it is frustrating
to watch, Joe. When we're at the game on Sunday, we kept just looking when Harper's up to the plate. There's not even anybody in right field.
Yeah.
I mean, and you're going like, and I know what you just said, they're not built to hit that way. You just look at it, though. Because you don't see it when you're on TV, but when you're at the game, you're like,
you mean left field.
I mean, yeah.
I know what you meant.
Yeah. So no, it's wide open.
Drew, it's a major problem, and you can't change players in the next 8 hours. What you got is what you got, and these guys got to perform.
Yeah, so for me personally tonight, I'm putting Bohm at third. I'm putting him at third. I'm putting Sosa at second, because the other guys, let's face it, against lefties, Stott, everyone is all the left-hand hitters are lost against left-hand pitching right now. They can't do anything.
Well, and the problem is to go to the outfield, Rojas and frickin' Hayes are lost against everybody.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, Hayes has entered Jalen Reagor territory.
Yeah,
unplayable. Unplayable.
Great call, guys.
Unplayable.
He's not even worth mentioning. And honestly, Dave Dombrowski, in my view, hasn't done a thing. He basically kicked back and lit a cigar when he signed Trey Turner almost 2 years ago. He hasn't done a thing to help this team.
Well, he's done a lot. That's an overstatement and inaccurate.
He didn't do enough
at this trade deadline, which was
incredibly expensive,
yeah,
but he did not do enough.
Here's the thing I think he did wrong. He put too much faith in the clubhouse culture with guys that vibe with each other and they get along and that whole thing. And, I mean, there were dudes like, you know, Chaz Chisholm at the trade deadline. I mean, what an acquisition for the Yankees. Talk about the kind of player and perhaps energy piece.
Energy would bring a little life to this
team.
That
the Phillies could use right now, like that guy right now.
100%, dude.
Now, look, I know the Yankees might lose, so don't get me wrong.
No,
I'm not saying
still,
it's a cure-all.
Yeah.
Why is it everyone always says, when you're watching these games, every commentator or when you're listening to, you know, they're talking about the games, when Bryce is right, he's using the whole field. He's taking the ball where it wants to go. When Bryce is right, he's going opposite field. He's going, you know, to left field with the ball. You know, Rhea just said that they're not even aligning anyone in left field because they know how hasty.
Well, to be fair,
we've been. But no, my point is, if everyone in the world knows Bryce is right when he's using the whole field.
Yep.
Why doesn't Bryce just always use the whole field?
Because it's not that easy.
Get up there
that's
and
the answer.
Use the whole
John,
field.
Guys are throwing 99 and then 85 and then
right.
83, and the ball's coming in the exact same spot until it goes one way or another.
Like, I agree.
There is split-second decisions.
Like, I agree.
It's just, it's hard.
Right,
man, there's a reason the best players in baseball these days hit 29% of the time.
All right, let's listen. I think we all know the biggest sequence last night was when the Phillies had a shot down 2-0. It was the sixth or fifth?
Sixth.
Top of the sixth. First two guys get on. Bryce, nobody out. This at bat and then the Cassie double play, these were killers in the game.
Well, Phillies need a big hit from their big man. Harper swings and misses. Outfield slightly the other way, the pitch. Harper swings and misses. No balls, two strikes to Harper. Manaea kicks the pitch. Swung on and missed. He struck it out on three pitches. Another sweeper way outside, and Harper flailing at it. Down 2-0. Castellanos down in the count. And a 0-2. Swung on, hit sharply, caught by Iglesias. He'll flip to Lindor. It's a double play.
That really hurt, man. That really, really, because they were right there, not only to get
Manaea
runs,
was losing it.
Manaea was about to be out of the game.
Was losing control.
Yep. He's about to be out of the game.
His location was suffering. He was almost out. Just sit. Like, Bryce, don't swing. Just don't swing at everything. Just, Casty, lay off.
Yeah.
This is the ongoing saga. It's so obvious. Why isn't it obvious to them in the moment?
Well, it's not easy. Let's listen to Bryce after the game on that very crucial at-bat.
Well, frustrating was that bat there, the sixth inning, in terms of where you're looking for a certain spot and didn't get it, or too aggressive?
No, I mean, he just made some good pitches. First pitch changeup. Thought it was a really good pitch to hit. And then, threw me two banger sliders.
Brutal. I mean, look, I'm not going to jump on Bryce Harper. He had a bad game last night. He's been an incredible fill. I'm not going to go from he's an all-timer to, dogging the guy. It was a bad game. He's got to bounce back tonight. It's a huge spot. I could also use more from Trey Turner in front of him. And then the guys behind him. I mean, you had all the righties set up last night behind Bryce. Righty, 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 righty. And they all stunk.
Did you hear this? I mean, Shield said it. The 5 through 9 hitters and the losses are 2 for 30. I mean, 2 for 30.
I know. All right. Right now, let's give you a name so that on Friday you can win tickets to the Eagles and the Cleveland Browns. Of course, we give these tickets away every single Friday leading in to an Eagles home game.
From our great partner, NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy. And it's going to be supposedly going to be gorgeous. Got a 1 o'clock game. So.
Boy, Ray, nice. If you're trying to make me feel better.
I'm trying.
That didn't work.
Honestly, the thought of the Eagles playing again after that Bucks game and given the way the Philly series is going is not appealing.
Here's what I'll say.
We may desperately need the Eagles by Sunday.
Look, here's what I will say.
And the Browns. The way the Browns are playing, that might be incredibly helpful.
If the Phillies lose tonight, the Eagles... better win.
I can't even. I don't want to talk about it now.
All right, James, let's do a name.
And the name is...
Steve Everett. The guy stunk, but he came...
Steve Everett?
He came from the Cleveland Browns as a heralded center. He's going to be the next Kelsey before
University
Kelsey.
Of Michigan.
He was going to be Kelsey before Kelsey. The guy couldn't play.
He's
stunk.
Like a top two pick in the draft or something,
He was like an all-pro. He got here, and it was awful.
I used to hear stories about Steve Everett in the training table at the University of Michigan. Like, he really loved corn. Corn, yellow
Fair
corn.
Enough.
I mean, so who doesn't?
I love corn too, but he loved it so much. He would go up and he would take the entire tray from, the catering, from training table and take it back to his
plate. We're talking like corn on the cob?
He had all the corn for the entire team for himself every time.
Well, that's
they
a little
corn.
Rude. All right, so look, we give you a different name each day. Yesterday, a name. Today, Steve Everett, and we'll see who's tomorrow and Friday. Ultimately, you can win the tickets to the Eagles and Browns Friday on our program at 8 o'clock. Always listen Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, 8 o'clock for a name. All right. So last night was terrible. There was really no part of the team that played well. The star hitters didn't play well. The complimentary hitters didn't compliment. The borderline star starting pitcher did not pitch well. And the relievers did not relieve well.
Hard to win a game that
for
way.
4. And Sosa had another defensive flub. And I don't know that it would have been a double play.
But it could have been. It might have been a double play.
And look, it's two times in this series he's had a bad defensive play.
And the announcers are just like, oh, great job not panicking. It's like, how do you not even mention that it could have been a double play if he fielded it clean?
It was a poor job by them. All right, Mark in Downingtown. By the way, it's 94 WIP, HD1 Philadelphia, as we broadcast today from the Tasty Cake Studio with the Phils on the ropes. Now, I'm not ready to throw in the towel. I would go to Zach Wheeler tonight, but obviously this is scary as hell. Mark, good morning.
Good morning. Boy, you guys have got me all over the place. I was going to relax this morning, but you got me so nervous. I want to say that I agree, Joe. Who do you trust more? I trust Zach Wheeler on less rest.
Yep.
However, John hit it on the head. I would absolutely start Ranger, you know, on a very short hook, and then be ready to throw Wheeler in, only because I do feel confident in, if, you know, should we win tonight, have Sanchez start the next game.
Well, here's my, I'll give you my fear with that, Mark. My fear is not that Ranger doesn't go long. It's that in the two or three innings he pitches, you're in a 3-0 hole.
Yep. It's what happened last year in Game 7. Wheeler came in relief. Yay! But they were losing already, and yeah, they ended up losing.
I mean, Mark, again, like, I break it down this way. I feel confident, very confident, that Wheeler on short rest will at least give me a pretty good start. It might not be Zach Wheeler Hall of Fame level, but, like, I don't think he's going to bomb. I don't know what I'm getting from Ranger. I have no idea. He has not, other than maybe one or two starts, he really has not pitched well in 4 months.
I was positive Ranger was going to give us a loss. Like, when we were heading into this series, as I'm mapping it out in my brain, of course, I thought we would win Wheelers. You know, I wasn't sure what came next. Nola, I was positive that this was going to be that one that we made up for with Wheeler's start.
Yeah, that's where I'm at, Mark. And that's why, look, it's not an easy decision to arrive at, but that's how I arrived at it.
So if Wheeler starts this game and we're confident in Sanchez, what happens if, what are we going to do if we have to take Sanchez out early in game five?
Well, first off, impossible to know how long Wheeler went here and who else got used. Here's the good news. You got a day off. Okay, so at that point, you're talking about a couple things. I mean, the regular relievers would be able to pitch, I mean, unless they go two or three innings tonight, the Hoffmans, the Kirk Greens, the Stroms. I mean, game five's 2 days from now. You probably could have Aaron Nola on a side throw day because Aaron Nola will have pitched. Nola will have pitched on Tuesday night, will be totally available to give you two innings if you need it on Friday night. I'll figure that out.
You have to get to five.
I can do that.
You know, like, there is no five if you lose four.
Right. Yeah.
It's all about myopia. Sorry. Like, focus in on what do we need to do to get it done now. For Joe, that's starting Zach Wheeler. I would rather start Ranger and then bring Zach Wheeler in if necessary.
Well, Mark, let me ask you a question. It's one of our Twitter poll questions today. I'm just going to ask you a very basic question. Do you feel confident Ranger will pitch well tonight? Yes or no?
Oh, there's no way I could say yes.
Yeah,
no.
I would still.
I mean, we're running to the Alamo, dude. I would start him, and I would give him two runs or an inning or two. I mean, if he looks like crap, yank him and then go forward.
I got you.
And also, I agree with Rhea. We got to hit the ball. I mean, that's the most important thing.
You agree with the whole world. All right, Mark, appreciate it. Let's listen to Castellanos after the game. This first comment I almost found kind of funny, but we're not really in the mood for ha-has. Not that he was trying to be at all, but it was almost borderline funny. But I did like his mentality with a series of answers last night. Here's one of the things he said yesterday.
Backs are against the wall. What's the pressure like? What's the feeling here tonight?
Well, as a group, this is the closest to death we're ever going to get. So in a way, we should feel the most alive. We're only promised tomorrow. And, you know, this is what we've been working since spring training for, to have this opportunity. And it's just one more time to show out and leave everything on the field. And however the dice is going to land, it's going to land.
Well, Castellanos said a lot after the game that I liked a lot, including this next one.
Instead of just flushing it and forgetting it, I think right now it's really important to embrace what the situation is. We lose, we're going home. Baseball's over for us. And, you know, it's a great opportunity, because if we're able to come in and scrape out a win here, I know that they do not want to go back to Philly for a game five.
Look, I like that a lot.
I agree with that.
And I love the statement, it's a great opportunity. I love that statement.
I like that, it's true.
It's accurate.
But a lot of these guys, it seems like, don't handle it well. Like, they press. They try and hit home runs.
I'm aware.
Yeah, I almost feel like they shouldn't have that mentality, because they have proven so far, at least to date, that mentality doesn't work for this group.
But if you notice what he said,
like,
the
mentality that works when they're front runners.
What matters 77,000 times more than what you say is what you do, okay? But I will say, I liked that he referenced, and you guys know I hate the whole flush thing anyway, but I like that he specifically said this isn't about flushing it. He's basically saying we got to learn from what just happened and be better.
No, yeah, I think he's absolutely right on that. I think that's a great point by him.
I mean, that's his point.
But it does feel like there are teammates who like to avoid the hard truth.
I don't know if that's true.
Harper literally said, let's flush it after game one. So there are definitely teammates who
I just don't think they respond well to pressure, it seems. You know, of these spots where it's like, oh, let's use this to fuel us. Like, no, I think they use it to tighten up and to press more.
I think they do tighten up. I think this is not
a lot of people tighten up.
Team needs to get better at.
This is part of why we cherish Nick Foles. I mean, he was in the crucible of a season.
No doubt.
He was going against Tom Brady. I mean, at one point there was a fourth and one. Like, the whole season could fall apart. And by the way, Big V got beat on that play, and Foles stepped to the left.
Totally.
Zach Ertz made a really nice hands catch. Like, that was not an easy play to convert because Big V got beat. You got to handle it in the moment, and Foles did. Let's listen to one more Castellanos last night.
Rob came in, said some quick words to the team. All good stuff. But I think just it's going to be more talked about as we spend time together, whatever form that comes about. I'm sure that our conversations aren't going to be about fluff for the next however many hours we have until the start of this next game.
Ross, please tell me our baseball team is going to win tonight.
Oh, gosh.
Ross, I feel you, buddy.
Well, no, I want
talk about insurance. Talk about someone throwing a grenade at you.
Should I play the Rocky music under this? Or?
So two things real quick, okay?
Yep.
Number one, last Thursday night, okay, I'm out in Colorado getting ready for a game. The guy next to me works for CBS, is a Mets fan. It's the top of the ninth. They're in Milwaukee.
Yeah, that's right.
They're down 2-0. Like, you guys were talking about that London game. It was the ninth inning, and this Mets fan next to me for CBS is like, it's over. We're going to lose. Like, baseball is just crazy.
That's a great point, Ross. Listen,
I thought for sure I would have bet a lot of money that we were playing the Brewers. I was happy we were playing the Brewers. And then it might have been my fault because the Mets fan says to me, this is probably Pete Alonso's last at-bat as a Met.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I feel like he's been there for 10 years. I'm like, oh, I hope he hits a home run. And then he did.
Oh, my God.
It's your fault, Ross.
This is my fault.
All right, Ross, Bad job, Ross. Your second point, and I love your first one, let me just say that, other than that Pete Alonso thing, that resonates with me because here's the deal. We are all down. But I, as a fan, I'm just going to speak for myself. I'm not down and out. I mean, we have seen crazier things in life. We saw Nick Foles again beat Tom Brady. Brady threw 500 yards. We saw Diamondbacks last year down 2-0, down 3-2. I'm switching sides now, but you get my point. Things happen. We saw the Phillies in 80 down 2-1 of the Houston Astros. We saw the Phillies in game 5 of that series down 5-2 to Nolan Ryan. This thing is not over. Okay. What's your second point, Ross?
My second point is, it might be a question as much of a point, but it just feels like baseball, there's so many unknowns, there's so much variance. Everything you just said there, Joe. In other words, like, do we think the Mets are better than the Phillies, or do we think this is just baseball?
That's always the conundrum at this time of the year. You always wonder that. And here's the other thing.
They're definitely playing better than the Phillies.
And
but are the Phillies choking, or is this just like the ebbs and flows of a baseball season? And maybe here's what I'm upset about, Joe.
Sure.
I thought after Sunday night, after Casty, you know, after Stotter hits the big hit, after Casty, in my mind, it was like, okay, we got the magic baseball postseason mojo back. We're going to go to New York. We're going to win. Like, whatever that formula is, I thought we got it back Sunday night, and we didn't.
No, clearly didn't. And look, you're touching on some very big points because this is the thing about baseball in the playoffs. It is hard to discern the whys. Does it just happen because – all right, look, we'll take all the calls. Obviously, our hearts are heavy. It's not over, but it's a tough spot right now. It's a tough spot. Oh, boy. You know, James, you brought up an idea earlier. Do we play Rocky by the end of the show?
Oh, man.
I think so.
I think we probably should.
9:30, right?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Devin, 9 o'clock, starting the 9 o'clock segment. Do we play Dancing on My Own?
No.
Why?
Why not, actually, at this point?
You know what? That's a good point, James.
Yeah. I'm with you, Joe.
You know what? No, play it. Play it. Because just the other day I was thinking, I miss it.
I know
that it's been a controversial topic and a lot of people are against it. I miss it. When the Phillies won on Sunday, you just expect to hear it after they play High Hopes after the win. And it felt empty without it. So, sure.
Okay, they were better with it. Like, they were better with it.
I'm well aware.
Yeah, it's coming.
All right, James, 9 o'clock, Dance on My Own.
And 9:30 Rocky. Lock it in.
Okay, I like it. Hey, playoff coverage here on the... Look, we're trying our part, ladies and gentlemen, okay? I mean, we might have the wrong approach, but we're at least trying.
Joe, this team, like, honestly, I think a lot of people... doesn't deserve any grace. For as much as we've loved them over the past couple of years, this has been going on for too long.
4 months.
This summer.
I know.
You know, the not playing Bryce, you know, pinching him on that day. Just a lot of stuff has gone into where I don't think they've taken things seriously when they should have.
Well,
and now they're in a panic situation.
Yeah, well, they are in a panic situation. I got a buddy texting me, and it's a very reasonable point that he thinks Rob Thompson messed up months ago. I mean, probably defined by like May on, when Bryson Stott was basically not batting against left-handed starting pitchers. And he's like, tonight, you're probably going to put him in there in a tough spot when he's barely done it for five months. And it's my buddy's not wrong. So,
and your point to the whole fourth, fifth starter, you know, all those games that Taijuan Walker cost you.
No question.
You know,
now look,
maybe the Mets don't get in.
Well, right, you know? But I will say you might be in a 2-1 hole to the Padres.
Sure.
For what it's worth. Yeah. Like, had the Phillies gotten the top spot.
Well, you probably would have played the Diamondbacks. Oh, you're saying if they got in the one seed.
Yeah.
If they got in the one seed, you could be down 2-1 to the
Padres. Oh, I think the Padres are the best team.
Oh, there's
right
no doubt.
I think the Padres are going to win the World Series, personally, if I had to pick today.
All right, well, look, the bottom line is there's unfinished business here, clearly, and we hope the Phillies tonight continue on with their season. Phillies playoff coverage on WIP presented by Delaware Valley Honda. Ross Tucker with us. Obviously, we're incredibly light on the Eagles today. Very heavy on the Phillies for obvious reasons. Let's talk to Dennis. He's calling from Newtown. Hi, Dennis.
Hey, guys. How are you?
You know.
Since I've talked to you. Hey, you know what? For me, I love all the points everybody's making today, the analysis, all this analytics. You know what, though? This is a win-or-go-home game. That's what it is. So I want to check this team's heart, and I want to check this team's mind. They're playing like a bunch of scared rabbits in a fetal position in the corner saying, don't beat us, don't beat us. Alec Boehm, guy, there is no crying in baseball. So, team, really, what this is all about now, what this is all about now is going back to fundamental old-school baseball, take the extra base. When Winker comes up, I want him uncomfortable because I don't want him watching another home run.
Just
this
hit
team
that
has
guy.
No fight in it.
In the playoffs, it's hard.
If you lose when you play like that, you're bloody in the other guy's nose. This is frustrating.
Very frustrating. Listen, Dennis, you hit a lot of good points, man. I mean, I do think this thing starts with fight. I think it then goes to approach. And I think it also goes to who do you actually choose to play. I mean, Dennis, I got to tell you, in my life, and I've done a lot of shows as a talk show host, sports fan, and prior to being in this industry, thousands of games I've seen as a fan. There are very few times in my life where I can remember a do-or-die game where there are five different positions where there is legitimate debate of who should start.
Yeah.
Second base, third base, center field, left field, and starting pitcher. Second, third, center, left, and starting pitcher.
It's wild.
People are all over the place of who should even start.
Joe, I get it. I get it. But again, if you're not ready to play with your heart and mind in a game like this, that stuff goes out the window in my mind.
Listen, Dennis, I know.
Show a Philly fight and represent this fan base for the fans that they are, which is toughness.
All right, Dennis, I love your call. I really do. John, remind me. We've had so many topics today. I honestly don't remember where everyone stood on every topic. Who's your center fielder tonight, John, against the left-handed Mets starter?
I'm okay with having Brandon Marsh out there.
Yeah. He will probably go 0-4, but it's better than
the way he's fanning.
Right.
I mean, fanning big time, missing in a big way, but you never know. I mean, Rojas has, what, one hit in this series? It's just not even close to good enough. Like, I feel like Marsh might give me a chance for something. Maybe a rogue home run somewhere.
All right, James, let me ask you this question. We have not tackled this possibility. Is there any chance it's a hockey line shift, it's Weston Wilson and Cody Clemens starting in the outfield?
No. I mean, like, look, from a bat perspective, I get it. Like, they're not going to do that. I mean, center field and Citi Field is huge. We've seen it. It's a big outfield out there.
We saw it early. There were
it's
a million
a
balls
big outfield out there. Yeah. Like, I do not, like, Cody Clemens, as far as I know, has never played center field in his life. Wes Wilson, we know he can't even play left field. I mean, we're putting him out there for the bat. Like, I think there's a 0% chance that it's anyone but Rojas or Martian center field.
And you're still not with what I said prior to the playoffs, Schwarber to left field. You don't even consider that?
I didn't. At this point, you know, if you're putting Wes Wilson out there, he's just as bad a fielder, more or less, as Schwarber. So you know what? Sure. Yeah, I'd be fine with that tonight, Joe.
You know
and
what,
I was very against it.
Here's what you could do if you did that. You could get Sosa and Boehm and Stott all in the lineup if Schwarber played left field.
You could.
You could.
Or Clemens, to your point, now it's a lefty-lefty
right.
thing, but you know, you could.
I mean, there is a scenario where Schwarber plays left. And
you've been dying for that.
Well,
I was so against it.
They weren't going to hit enough.
I was so against
that was
it,
my,
but
that was
like,
the whole
Joe,
point.
They're not, you're right. Like,
Joe, I'm in favor of absolutely
anything.
Panicking.
Yes, I'm with you. Panic moves tonight. Seriously, they
should
panic.
You're starting Wheeler, and you're making these moves in the outfield.
Yeah,
you've
got to do something.
Mark.
You know what Wheeler would
do?
You know what he could pull?
Who is the starting outfield?
Well, in that scenario, if you did that,
Schwarber and left?
That would be Schwarber and left. That would be Martian center.
Uh huh.
Then you know, I put my two best defensive players in the
Boehm
field.
Boehm with DH is the point.
Yes. I would have Stott at second because he's my best defensive second. I'd have Sosa at third because he's my best defensive third.
Yeah.
And Boehm would be my DH. So I still get a lot of ready at batters.
Where are you hiding Trey in that defense?
I think I got Cody. Who's my DH? I guess Cody Clemens.
Could
is
be.
My DH.
Well,
yeah.
If you put
if
Schwarber,
I go Schwarber yeah. in left field,
it's a lefty lefty thing, but
yeah.
still.
All right, let's.
We're all falling apart.
Hey, Ross, are your kids into this yet? Ross, are your kids old enough for this yet?
Very, very much so. Yeah, and it makes it like almost worse than when I was a kid. Because I don't like seeing them
suffer.
Disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that hit me last night, big time, after the game, for the 10-year-olds out there, man, they're being indoctrinated.
Welcome to being a Phillies
they
fan.
They really are. I mean, think about the 10-year-old. When that kid was 8, the Eagles blew a Super Bowl. When that kid was 8, the Phillies lost in the World Series. When that kid was 8, the Sixers had a disaster against the frickin' Celtics.
But you know what, Joe? That's still way better than when we were 8.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? When I was 8, I had seen nothing. Right. I saw every one of my teams lose every single season.
Well, the Phillies were over
and the Eagles would
make 15.
You know, losing
or
the first
like a
round of the playoffs. Exactly. So, like, I get it. But like,
Joe, here's what I'll say to
better.
The 10-year-olds out there.
Yeah.
Why should they be happy?
All right, Ross, I want to sneak in one quick, and I mean quick, Eagles question for you.
Yeah.
Are the Browns truly this bad, or is Deshaun Watson an anchor that's pulling them down?
Well, I did their game a couple weeks ago against the Raiders. He actually, I thought, played pretty well. They're just playing really poorly. Both sides of the ball, critical errors. They don't believe, I think, in the quarterback. And they're in a tough spot because the money he's owed, I'm not even sure Stefanski, who's a local Philly guy, went to prep like you. I'm not even sure he can bench Watson if he wanted to because of the money and because of ownership. And now imagine being a player there and you saw Flacco light it up for you.
No question.
At the end of last year.
No question.
I was going to say, by the way, Joe, you know, Devin White has some at-bats left for the Phillies team.
Oh, man. That guy is really lucky that
what
we didn't
news
get to
dump,
it today.
Well, he's not lucky. The Eagles did it on purpose. That was such a all-time clear, Phillies are about to play a playoff game.
Yeah.
Let's dump the guy. Like, come on. We know what's happening.
Well, we know what's happening, but it may have also been coincided with him agreeing to the negotiation that led to it being less salary cap.
Sure, but that didn't happen 30
impactful.
Minutes before. I'm sure he agreed to the negotiation earlier in the day, the day before, but they waited until that moment to do it.
That was a fiasco. All right, James, I know of some good news for Philly sports fans.
Yes, there
is. And I know that we feel down, but I want you to, James, present Eagles point spread and Phillies Mets game 4 odds, and let's try to pep people up a little bit here. Go ahead.
So the Eagles are 8.5-point favorite against the Browns.
Which means they should flat out win.
That is as Eagles a line as you will ever see with the way they've played football.
True.
So huge. And believe it or not, it is the slightest of slightness, but the Phillies are a slight favorite tonight. They are minus 116 to the Mets minus 102. They are the both minus, like they're not even a plus favorite, but they are the slightest of slight favorites.
I mean, it's fascinating because it's not obviously how we feel.
It's a reminder that baseball is baseball.
It's also a reminder Zach Wheeler might start.
True.
Wait, can we go back to something, though, James? The stat Joe Giglio texted you?
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Can we go back to that for a second? Just with the Wheeler versus Ranger, who should they start? Now, knowing that stat, I'm almost tempted to say Ranger should start.
So the stat was, in the last 3 years, the Mets are 14-3 against the Phillies in games that Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola have started.
But that can be it is crazy, but it can be circumstantial. I mean, the Phillies lost game one of this series. It wasn't Zach Wheeler's fault.
Yeah.
I mean, Zach Wheeler's pitched great in like every playoff start for the Phillies, and he's only got 4 wins. Because they either don't score for him, or they blow a lead by the bullpen.
But I wonder if it affects the mentality of the offense in a way.
Like, you know, they don't show up as much because they know they got Zach.
Right.
It's possible.
Well, that used to happen to Cole Hamels all the time.
Yeah.
Happen all the time.
Maybe they should roll Ranger out there today and just, or start with him and see.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Head games for the you're nice. Playing mind
We're
games with
really
your own team and not with the other team. Yeah.
Boy, that's next level. Let's go to Ken right now. Ken, you're on WIP.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
We're not
bad,
great.
Ken.
We're not good.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, when I was 8, Steve Carlton won 27 of the 64 games the Phillies won that year. So I beat you all.
Yeah, and it wasn't 64. It was, I think, 59.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was bad.
Yep.
Listen, we're trying to assign blame here. I get it. It's natural. First of all, if you're going to get 0-for-4 out of Johan Rojas and you're going to get 0-for-4 out of Brandon Marsh against the lefty, you got to play the guy who's going to help you the most somewhere. And Johan Rojas is just a much better center fielder than Brandon Marsh. But I don't know how, like, I've never been confident in Rob Thompson. I haven't been since day one. But I don't see anything that Rob Thompson could have possibly done differently over these first three games that changes the outcome of these first three games.
Well, he's way down the pecking order. I do think he could have taken Nola and Alvarado out earlier, but...
That's pretty much...
But this is so much more on the players than Rob Thompson.
Yep.
So much more.
At that point, they had zero runs, Joe. At that point, they had zero runs.
I know.
So, you know, the fact of the matter is that they've played 27 innings against this team, and in 24 of them, they've done nothing. And if you're gonna say all throughout the period of time where Rob Thompson was handing the ball to Taijuan Walker every fifth day, when it was way beyond sensible to do that, and you're going to give him a pass because, well, he's got to do it. He's making $18 million a year. You know, the president of baseball operations goes out, and at the third straight deadline, does nothing to improve the baseball team, trades for a guy off the bench in Baltimore, and publicly announces, we think he's our everyday.
Yeah, that was weird that he said, this is our starter against righties and lefties. That was strange.
Maybe because they traded for him. He's their big deadline addition.
Yeah, you know what? But here's what part of it was, Ken, and this is part of the problem for tonight. It goes to show how little faith they had in Rojas at that moment. I mean, guys, let's not forget, in the summer, Rojas was sent down.
Yep.
And if not for some injury and ineffectiveness from others, probably would not have been brought back. So the reality is...
And Marsh, too. And Marsh, too. Marsh underperforming is...
But he wasn't sent down.
No, I know. I'm just saying Marsh underperforming hurt this thing as well.
Yeah, I mean, they have right now... Like, this is... who was that cornerback that couldn't defend and Dez Bryant beat him for 3 touchdowns?
Bradley Fletcher.
Bradley Fletcher,
oh,
right?
This
is like you have Bradley Fletcher in center field and you have Bradley
Kerry Williams. Remember
Fletcher
it was Kerry Williams.
I remember.
Sconces, like, that's what I remember.
Yeah, you're right. Like you have two huge outfield holes. Huge.
Well, Joe, here's the thing. So you said the word approach a few minutes ago. The most concerning thing about that snippet of Rob Thompson that you guys played coming from the break was when he said, we just have to stay with our approach. The approach is the problem, okay?
Yep, right.
Organizationally, this team has not prioritized contact, has not prioritized putting the ball in play for 3 years. And I don't want to hear they don't play baseball that way anymore, because if you go back to the 8th inning of Game 1, the Mets won the game by playing baseball that way. They shortened up. They protected the strike zone on 2 strikes. They put the ball in play, and they hung five runs on the Phillies in the eighth inning with five straight singles.
Eight strike hits.
Putting the ball in play.
Yeah. All right, listen, Ken, good phone call. It really was. Who was the player? I'm forgetting right now. He just squibbered down the first baseline last night. That he got tagged out. A runner from the Phillies went from first to second. Another guy from second to third. Not tagged out, but it was.
Was it Harper?
Not at first.
Was it Harper?
I don't think it was. Whoever it was, and I'm sorry I don't remember. It was one of the Phillies hitters. I did think of Pete Rose in that moment because my brother said to me, and I thought it was a good point, like the players slowed down ever so slightly because you knew there might be about to be a collision because the ball, the defender, and the runner were all going to be right around the same point. And I thought of Pete, like Pete Rose would have just ran right through it. If the defender hit Pete Rose, it would have been defensive interference. If it impacted the ability of the defender to pick up the ball, then maybe I increased my probability to be safe, and I got bases loaded. Like, just ever so slightly. It was very slight. But, you know, you got to go to the nth degree here. I mean, this is it. I mean, they're...
Put pressure on the defense and the offense in any way you possibly... That's the point you're making.
That's
is
the point.
Put pressure on those defenders to make a tougher play than you're making it easier on them.
I think what you're talking about is different. I think to some degree you're talking about some recklessness.
Somewhat.
Some football. Suspend your worry about injury and everything else. Just go in there, stick your head down,
guys,
and
blast through.
We need to be smarter. Just be smarter. Well, yeah. Tougher minded, but be smarter at the plate with your approach.
That's
man.
The biggest thing.
Holy of course.
Cow. That's the biggest thing.
That's number one.
All right, let's listen to Rob Thompson on the struggles of the offense. Obviously, it's been real. We've seen it in past postseasons. We're seeing it again. It was a major concern going in. Here it goes again. It manifests. Here's Rob Thompson last night.
It's tough to get down early, but we got to fight. You know, I thought our bats early in the game were okay. We hit three balls right on the nose in the first inning. Just that didn't have anything to show for it. And, you know, and then as the game rolls along, I think at some point guys try to do a little bit too much. And we just need to stay with our approach and, you know, pass the baton. That's what we always talk about. And just have good at-bats.
To be fair to Rob Thompson, when he says stay with our approach, I think what he's saying is stay with the approach that we have recommended.
Correct. Pass the baton.
Yeah.
That's why they said it so much.
Yeah, it's not fair to say stay with the approach didn't work. He's not saying stay with the approach didn't work. He's saying do what we've been trying to tell the guys to do. All right, let's listen to Rob Thompson on a bigger picture. The message to the team, because of course there's the hitting element, which is a huge percentage of this, but then there's the emotional edge of this whole thing. You're in a hole. Your backs are up against the wall. I mean, we referenced earlier, the Phillies have lost. Now, this isn't their fault, okay? But they've now lost elimination games 09, 10, 11, 22, 23, five straight times the Phillies have been in an elimination game, they've lost it. The last time the Phillies won an elimination game where they could be eliminated was game 5 of 09. So five straight times, you're on the ropes, they've gone down. All right, so this is a tough spot for an athlete, but it's the job. Listen, it's the price of doing business. You want to be in the postseason a lot, you're gonna face these tough challenges. You got to win it. Here's Rob Thompson after the game last night, his message to the
club. Do you say anything in particular to the guys after a night like this leading into tomorrow?
Well, I know it got out that I had spoken to the team. It's just very simple. You know, you come in here tomorrow, and I told them it's the most resilient club I've ever been around. It's what they're all about. They're all about toughness and fighting and playing together, and that's what we need to do, and just focus on one game.
Got to focus on one game, got to win it.
I keep hearing him say this, the toughest, most... When have they been resilient? Like, they are front runners. They have yet to show us, other than in a couple innings in game 2, that they're a team that fights. I mean, this guy was around the 1996 Yankees, this 97... Yeah. Like, there's no it's way this service. Group is more... Exactly. There's no way this
can
group
I,
is more resilient
Can I offer this,
that.
James?
None.
Let me offer this. And this is not this me being pom-poms, okay? This is just me just stating a fact. Prior to game 4... 1980 Phillies and Astros. Phillies had lost 76, 77, 78, missed the playoffs 79, and were in a 2-1 hole to the Astros.
That's fair.
And like the town was not in the mood to hear about resiliency of the Phillies. And then they won 4, they won 5, and then they won the World
Series.
That's
how they proved they were resilient. Like, this team keeps getting called resilient without proving they're resilient.
I understand. I get it.
Why did they get to be called that?
Well,
I mean, what did they do to deserve that? They've not won.
Hey, Ross, I for you as the dad, I wish your kids a good night tonight, my man. I really hope that they get a victory tonight because The children of the Delaware Valley, your kids included, could really use it tonight, buddy.
Well, two things. Number one is, to Seltzer's point, we didn't have any of these moments. I on some level, it's weird because I'm glad that they get the highs and the lows. We just kind of had the low. Like, Sunday awesome.
Yeah.
Was awesome. Yeah. We didn't have that when we were kids. So we'll see. Try and enjoy every aspect of it, and maybe they can get the magic back. It feels like baseball, there's like this magic potion they need to drink tonight.
Look, look, I often say in the playoffs there's a thin line between winning and losing. Last night's not one of those games.
It was 7-2.
They got wallops. Ross, stay well, my man. Thank you, Ross.
All right, see you guys.
We'll talk to Ross next week. Obviously, at some point, we'll be heavier back into the Eagles in the football season, when Ross is typically on with us every Wednesday at that time. Hey, Twitter poll questions of the day. We got three of them today. They're all brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin's got the new 2025 Chevy Trax in stock now, starting at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. First poll question, do you feel confident Ranger will pitch well tonight, yes or no? Second poll question, I'm going a little out of order here. Second poll question, who wins tonight, Phillies or Mets? Third poll question, now for everyone listening that missed this when we addressed this earlier, I want to get us all back on the record again for everyone tuned in. Third poll question, who do you think should start tonight, Ranger or Wheeler? Let's all go on the record again. Quick explanation of why. John, I am Wheeler because I trust him more, because I got Sanchez on regular rest in Game 5, because I can go to Ranger out of the bullpen if I need him. That's my basic answer. And because I have no idea what I get from Ranger if he starts. They're my
I have
four.
No idea what I get from Ranger. Rob Thompson knows what he gets from Ranger.
Does
and
he
told us that he's starting him. So I am willing to, you know,
trust Rob Thompson right now?
I'm willing to trust him on this because I know we've got Zach Wheeler available. He told us everyone's available. Let's have Zach available, too, coming out of the bullpen.
All right, Devin. And here's the thing. By the way, I'll just say this for everyone here. And this goes to the audience also. What you thought at 6 a.m. and what you think at 8:43 a.m. can change based on being swayed by comments. All right, Devin, where are you at this moment, Ranger or Wheeler?
That is exactly my case. I said Wheeler earlier in the show. Now I think they go with Ranger, see what he's got. I know he pitched in the sim game, but for just two innings. Topper says he looked good. I have to just trust him on that, see what he puts out there, and go from there.
All right.
So, Ranger.
James?
Yeah, I trust nothing that Rob Thompson says right now. Nothing.
I trust the stat Joe Giglio sent you, James.
Yeah, I know, and that's somewhat fluky, but I would go with Wheeler. There's no game five. You don't win game four. He's the pitcher I trust the most. And the point you made before, Ranger has come out of the bullpen before. You know, we know that he at least feels comfortable doing that. I got to go. If I'm going to go down, I'm going down with my best player.
Ray?
I'm going with Ranger. My hope is that they realize they have to score because it's not Zach Wheeler on the mound.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't, you know, I mean, at this point, it's just ridiculous.
It is ridiculous how bad the offense is.
I mean, I literally.
It's ridiculous.
And the thing is, the first couple at bats, Schwarber, 8-pitch at bat, they were working it.
That was a good one.
They got down 2-0, and they panicked, and they went back to just swinging wildly at everything.
All right, phone calls in 1 minute's time. Reaction and pre-reaction. What's preview of reaction?
Preview?
Pre-action?
Preview. Pre-action. All right, so review of last night, preview of tonight, all of that with the calls in 1 minute.
This football season, get yourself a win by losing. Call NJ Diet today and you will lose 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days, contractually guaranteed. You'll shock family during the holiday get-togethers. And more importantly, your doctor should finally be able to give you good news about your blood work. Not only that, but losing weight is linked to helping boost low T, guys. NJ Diet's program starts with personalized supplements based on your hair, saliva, and blood work. Then NJ Diet uses DNA testing to help you keep the weight off. It's all natural, no surgery, no hormones, no gross prepackaged foods, and no shots or nasty side effects. Locations in King of Prussia, Newark, Delaware, Cherry Hill, and Princeton, or from home with live online video consults. Call today, 855-5-NJ-DIET. 855-5-NJ-DIET, or go to njdiet.com to set up your consultation. That's njdiet.com.
All right, one more thing before the phones. I just want to say this about this guy. We love him. We love him. This guy.
Ranger.
suave.
Rangers, the man you want as your amigo. All right, he was, and maybe still is. Okay,
he's not your amigo anymore.
Well, he's my friend. He's my friend. He's just I might be my trusted guy to go in a battle with tonight. Here's the thing. I'm looking at stats right now. June 20th. He's 10-1. He's got a 1.75 ERA. June 20th, 10-1, 1.75 ERA. You are almost halfway through the year. You're basically a 1 week away from being halfway through the year. Best pitcher in baseball. Since then, not even close. That's why I go Wheeler. I mean, that's a big chunk of why I go Wheeler is the way to frame it. You know, it's not that I don't want to trust Ranger. It's that after getting hit in the hand, after having the back issue, after missing time, after coming back, I just don't trust him right now. And look, maybe I'll have egg on my face tomorrow if he goes out there and pitches great, and I'll celebrate it. And then you save Zach Wheeler for game five, and I'll be like, that's awesome. But as we sit here this morning, I just got to go to Wheeler because I just don't know what I'm getting from Ranger. Let's go to Chuck in Mount Airy. Chuck, you're on WIP.
Morning, team. What's up? Listen.
Hey, buddy.
Good morning. How's everybody doing?
We're struggling, man.
Hey, I'm struggling just like you are, too. But I tell you one thing, right? You guys say Rob Thompson, you know, it's not his fault. Maybe, you know, this, that, and third. Listen, somebody's got to take the fall for this. If they lose this game tonight, somebody's take the fall for it. So if these guys have an ounce of character in them and they want to play for their manager, they're going to play hard tonight for their manager to keep his job.
Well, I will say this, Chuck. It is possible. It is possible that his job is on the line tonight. We saw Buddy get fired after three straight playoffs. You know, we saw Charlie Manuel get fired. I think it was only 2 years after the playoff run ended. We saw Doug get fired 3 years after Super Bowl.
That feels pretty dramatic.
It is, but Middleton is in my opinion, not a mess around guy.
Well, we've talked about it. Like, if it does not happen this year, what things do have to change. Yeah. You can't just keep running it back and hope.
Chuck, I tend to think it would be more like the Brandon Marshes and the backup catcher Stubbs and some of that, but it could be Rob Thompson if they lose tonight.
That's not moving the needle, man. Listen, let me tell you something. This team is full of gutless cowards right now, man. You know what I mean? Billy goats. That's what they are. A team full of billy goats. You know, how many times do they got to expect Bryce Harper to save their asses? And I'm pissed off at Bryce, too. Because you got to be smart enough to know this guy walked people. This pitcher that was on the mound yesterday, he historically walks a lot of people. And he started to walk people. He started to unfold. And you gave him the easy way out by coming up and swinging at three straight pitches like a jackass. Mm-hmm. And then Castellanos came up right behind him and did the same thing. Straight pitches, man. Didn't work the plate at all. You had two men on, no outs. That was a chance to turn the game around, and you didn't.
It was a killer.
What the hell was you thinking, man? Wake the hell up, man. And boom, I would play him if my life depended on it. You can't count on a guy like that. He has no heart, and he sits there with the woe is me attitude every damn time. I'm starting to see it in his face, and he's slow as Velasquez running from first to second. Give me a break, man. I'm sick of this team. They started to remind me of the 76ers, man. No heart, and I don't believe in nothing about him, man. Nothing about them. They need to start moving the needle, man. They came out yesterday. The Mets have really kicked our ass. We should be swept out the playoffs right now. They should be ashamed of themselves. All of them.
All right, Chuck. We appreciate the phone call.
Great call, dude.
It's a lot
great
there.
Call, Chuck.
I personally think he went too far. I'm just going to tell you that right now because I think the Mets are a really good team. And I think they're playing a really good brand of baseball right now. So I don't think it's no heart.
Yeah, but I get you. But
not
but when the
heart.
Approach when the approach
that's different.
So,
that's different.
But that's part of it.
No, but that's,
okay,
no,
maybe
no,
not no
Chuck
heart.
Said no, no heart. Yeah, I don't
right,
agree with
that's
that.
That's fine. No resiliency. No toughness. I'll
playing
give them that.
Scared.
Yeah. I again.
Well, they're tight. They're tight, and they're playing
and
dumb.
You're coming,
they're playing dumb. Is what
I mean,
they're
and
playing.
And also, like, you can't disassociate from all they've said all year. Like all they've talked about. All the goals. Like. I get it. I'm not saying they don't care or they don't have heart, like Chuck said, but I think the vitriol that Chuck came with is absolutely warranted.
All right, let's listen. You know, he referenced, the thing he referenced the most there was that sequence, the Bryce at bat and the Castellanos at bat. This was the killer within the game. I mean, look, Nola wasn't good, but you still had a shot. You're only down 2-0. I did think they had that starting pitcher on the ropes. Personally, I was actually surprised the Mets manager left the starting pitcher in to face Castellanos. I really was. And credit to the manager and that pitcher for getting out of it. But first and second, no out, even before Castellanos. Bryce at bat, you're down two. Two on, nobody out. This sequence really hurt.
Well, Phillies need a big hit from their big man. Harper swings and misses. Outfield slightly the other way, the pitch. Harper swings and misses. No balls, two strikes to Harper. Manaea kicks the pitch. Swung on and missed. He struck it out on three pitches. Another sweeper way outside, and Harper flailing at it. Down 2-0. Castellanos down in the count. And a 0-2. Swung on. Hit sharply. Caught by Iglesias. He'll flip to Lindor. It's a double play.
Look, it wasn't good. It wasn't good. I get it. We all know it. I will say this, and again, I'm not trying to be Pollyanna guy.
At bats.
I know, but let me just say this. I told you, this is for the men, put some hair in your chest kind of series. For the ladies, it's going to gray your hair. That's what we got.
It means that ladies don't get hairs on their chest the same way guys do, so he's trying to come up with a comparison.
Yeah. I mean, yes, guys, it'll gray your hair also.
Okay.
So buckle up. We'll see what happens tonight. I mean, I am not nearly as down as some. Guys, I'm really down. But I'm just telling you, like, take a little bit of a breath. The Phillies can still win this. I just want to really remind people of that. Rob in South Jersey. Rob, you're on WIP.
Joe, what's going on, man?
Hey, pal.
Yo, the weather is just starting to have that fall breeze, which means baseball cannot end for us.
It would be very, very, very sad if it does.
Yeah, I honestly don't even know what to say, man. I just also want to say, Devin, Rhea, James, John, everybody there, I just love you guys for being here for me right now, because I feel so darn alone in this state of mind what this team is putting me through right now. So I'm glad I can, you know, vent to you guys. I really appreciate
that. Well, that's what WIP has been about for about 35 years and will always be about.
And Joe, I've been listening to everybody call in. Chuck just had a passionate call. I've heard Rios, you know, pre and post game sometimes. We overanalyze everything in the postseason. It's really not that hard. They have to win a baseball game tonight. It's really not that hard. They have to win a baseball game.
What complicates it is it's hard to even know who they should start at a bunch of positions. That is weird.
I understand that, Joe. And real quick, my dad got drafted by the Brewers. I was with them on Sunday night, man. It was one of the most touching moments. It was such a great time to be with a father-son moment. He has this mentality, and I don't always agree with him, but I'm starting to believe him. We're like, you know, Ranger has struggled recently. So what? It doesn't matter. The past doesn't matter. I mean, you can argue
as long as he's – hold on. One caveat, Rob. As long as he's physically right.
Yes.
If he's not physically right, I can't pitch him.
Well, he needs to trust that he's physically right. That was the problem earlier. But he was physically right, supposedly, but he didn't trust that he was, so he wasn't going all
out. But he has to communicate to the manager what he really feels.
Doubt.
You can't pull a Blaine Bishop.
If you can't bring it, you need to alert your manager. Yes.
Two points on top of that, Joe. One you guys just touched on. Yeah, if he can't go and, like, Thompson knows that, well, that's on Thompson. Number two, with all of this said about Ranger, I'm with you. I would go with Wheeler. And you want to know why, besides he's their biggest weapon? Rob Thompson owes Zach Wheeler for pulling him in Game 6 of the World Series.
Well, you don't do it for that reason, but I understand your point. Rob, fascinating phone call. Seltzer, I need an answer. Who will Rob Thompson start tonight as the starting pitcher?
Ranger Suarez. I think he's going to start Ranger Suarez. I do.
That's what he told us.
Well, he told us that 2 days ago.
He told us 2 days ago. I don't think that just because he told us, but that's my guess.
He's been more aggressive this October than past. We do know that.
I do like the idea of him waiting until the last minute. If he is going to start Wheeler, like, there's no reason to tell the Mets you're starting Wheeler. Like, none. Like, why?
Well, of course. Do you have to, I'm being serious about this, do you have to declare a starting pitcher before the other team declares their starting lineup?
I don't know. That's a really good question, Joe. I mean, think about it. We have pitchers scratched all the time, right?
Like, sometimes they scratch them 5 minutes before the game.
Like,
Chris Sale was scratched.
Yeah, that was the lineups were out for that game. Yeah, Chris Sale got scratched for that game.
I mean,
so,
if I'm Rob Thompson, let me put it this way. I don't know the rule at all. That's why I asked. Yeah. If you are allowed to not announce it, I would not announce it.
Exactly. I wouldn't either.
I mean, I would just make the
lineup
out there and then try to do what I got to do.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.